This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The striking machinists at Boeing are still striking, the union rejecting the company's latest offer, which included 35% pay raises over 4 years and $7,000 signing bonuses, but did not include restoring the company's pension plan, which was eliminated a decade ago. Charles Froemming, one of the machinists, asking of his bosses.
They get their pension, don't they? CEOs get $100 million worth of stock options when they retire. It's costing them billions a month. It's costing me thousands.
12 days until the election, Kamala Harris telling a CNN town hall last night she agrees with Donald Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, who says Trump fits the definition of a fascist. Trump calls Kelly a total degenerate who made up the story. The Justice Department warning Elon Musk that his $1 million giveaway to registered voters might possibly be a violation of election law. The first lawsuit against McDonald's has been filed by a man who says he was infected with E. coli after eating a quarter pounder in Colorado. This is ABC News. Terror charges in Arizona against a teenager.
The teen is accused of plotting an attack at last weekend's Phoenix Pride Parade in the name of the terror group ISIS, according to Maricopa County prosecutors. Authorities say the teen allegedly participated in online chat rooms, including discussing what supplies are needed to make an improvised explosive device. Then authorities say he had those ingredients shipped to him. County prosecutors credited investigators and law enforcement partners for their hard work on the case. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Thousands of bottles of the popular antidepressant Cymbalta are being recalled. Some have elevated levels of a toxic chemical in them. All the details are at abcnews.com. Seeing the World Series between the Yankees and the Dodgers on either coast in person could leave an Aaron Judge-sized hole in your wallet. The average resale price for a ticket in Game 1 tomorrow in L.A., $1,700. The lowest price for a ticket to Game 3 in New York, $1,500. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas. A Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Much of the Badger State is still in high fire danger. In fact, in some parts of central and northeastern Wisconsin, the risk is now considered very high. Here's Brittany Merlot.
There have been 72 wildfires across Wisconsin in the past week, burning a total of 925 acres. Most of them were started by equipment like mowing operations, RVs, and more. But burning debris, even when it's been banned, has still been happening. Don't do it. One spark, even as small as a cigarette butt, can start a fire.
We're getting into cold and flu season. Extra hand washing and dry air can lead some to develop eczema. Dr. Abigail Tao, a Spirus dermatologist.
People with eczema tend to have more inflammation at the skin layer. So it presents with dry, itchy, scaly, rashy skin.
She says it's critical to take care of that dry skin. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
The Bucks win on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks won their season opener in Philly, 124-109. Did they get a break since the 76ers' Paul George and Joel Embiid were both out with knee injuries? Doc Rivers.
No, I mean, we didn't have Chris, you know, which is one of our key guys. But we're not worried about the opponent right now, honestly. We're more worried about how we play.
The Bucks host the Bulls tomorrow night. College football, the Badgers host number 3-ranked Penn State Saturday night. Luke Fickell on facing that tough Nittany Lions defensive front.
They're going to move all around. They've got really, really good athletes. I think, obviously, that's where the strength of their team is.
NFL Matt LaFleur inviting his close friend and former Jets head coach Robert Saleh to practice. Will Saleh be joining the coaching staff?
It's pretty fluid. You know, I think it's important for him to spend time, obviously, with his family. So he's staying through Thursday and going back on Friday.
The Packers play the Jaguars in Jacksonville Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy and breezy today with clouds increasing this afternoon and then a chance of showers or even an isolated thundershower by late this afternoon into this evening. Our high today in the mid-60s. Tonight will clear after midnight with a low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, Tom Polsiewicz and I dig into John Kelly's blockbuster New York Times interview. We've got the clips from the interview. Donald Trump fully bear-hugging Adolf Hitler. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to The Eagle. WLCX. Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Thursday morning, October 24th, 2024. 12 days now until Election Day. Another beautiful but cold morning to have here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. You might be listening through the app, maybe by podcast. Maybe you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube. Anyway, thanks for starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Do you know how much colder it is this morning than this time yesterday? About 20 to 25 degrees colder. Let's just pop up those temperatures right now. I've got them here someplace at the bus stop coming up later this hour. At here on Lake Wissota, it is 36 degrees. Hayward's at 43. Wausau at 33. La Crosse, 37 right now. In Wisconsin Rapids, it's 28 degrees. Amory, 43. Green Bay, 32. Madison, 32. Waukesha, 30. And in Milwaukee's Radio Park, it's 38 degrees in Racine, where we find one Greg Bach standing by as well. Still in that T-shirt, though. So, I mean, we're not seeing the turtleneck, you know, and the fleece vest and everything else. So it's not frigid yet down by Greg Bach.
No, it's not. It's crisp.
Chris, it's refreshing, as Alicia writes in. Yes, with three different frozen emoji faces
is
on YouTube.
Being a fan of the cold? I just don't understand that.
Yes, she's welcoming fall, y'all. Exactly.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So it's a little chilly out there. Do we say this just as a public service for the kiddies? Please bundle up the kids before they head out to the bus stop. You can reach the show, of course, today at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or you can leave us a comment, as Alicia did, on the Up North News YouTube page, the Up North News Facebook page, or the Civic Media Facebook page. Coming up this morning, we are going to be talking about the surprise endorsement of Vice President Kamala Harris by a mayor in one of the nation's best-known Republican strongholds. That, of course, would be crucial Waukesha County. We're also joined by State Representative Steve Doyle, who's running for re-election in the La Crosse area, and Lou Anne Bird, an Assembly candidate in the Milwaukee area. She'll be our guest on our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good. Joe Zepecki is off this week, so we'll be joined at the bottom of this hour by Major General Randy Manner, part of the group National Security Leaders for America. He has a 35-year career in the military, and he is extremely concerned about the future of the country. Should Donald Trump bring to the White House what increasingly appears to be a style of governing fairly described as fascism? And it's one thing for, I think I want to give proper credit here. Pete Buttigieg said this yesterday. It's one thing for some left-wing group to refer to you as potentially fascist. It's another thing for a Republican to say of Donald Trump, this guy might be fascist. It's another thing when it's your own chief of staff when your own chief of staff and your top military leaders say, this guy is fascist to the core, well, General Manner walks us through the definition of it, and we kind of check off the boxes and see if this is what we might be dealing with, given Donald Trump's increasingly erratic, unstable rhetoric laced throughout with violence. And is that something that we want? Clearly, these hundreds of former national security officers don't think so, and neither does the mayor of Waukesha. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But first, I want to talk about the first day of in-person absentee voting. It was a little bit popular. On the first day of absentee voting, nearly 100,000 people in the state cast ballots, including some very long waits. You know, this was on Tuesday, and then the numbers came out yesterday. And the Wisconsin Elections Commission said the actual number was 97,436. That is up substantially. So again, about 97,000 people. Compare that to about 80,000 people who cast ballots on the opening day 4 years ago. However, again, due to the COVID-19 pandemic that year, in-person voting numbers were down while absentee voting by mail was higher. Now, as of Wednesday, again, for numbers reported yesterday, the number of absentee ballots that have been returned so far total by mail and in person, 475,000 people in Wisconsin have already voted. It's less than half of the more than 1 million that had been returned by this point 4 years ago. But again, that just tells you how many people mailed ballots during the COVID pandemic and mailed them early. Just by way of reference, there are a little more than 3.5 million registered voters in Wisconsin. Although it is worth noting that Wisconsin is one of those states where you can register on Election Day. So nobody can tell you what the final number will be in terms of registered voters in the state. The larger-than-expected show-up by voters on Tuesday caused a slowdown in the WisVote system that some clerks use to print a label, the label that's placed on the outside of the in-person absentee ballot. But that just means staff worked a little harder to increase the system capacity, and clerks are able to write that information on the envelope as well. And so many of them just went ahead and did that. Ann Jacobs, the Democratic chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, said the large turnout is, quote, a terrific problem, because it's a good thing when lots of people come out. She said the system slowed, but it never went all the way down. We're pretty confident that it won't happen again. The Dane County clerk, Scott McDonald, said he wasn't surprised by the high level of first day voters, given that it happened in plenty of other states already this year. And of course, you've got Wisconsin's status as, one of the battleground states that's out there. And so consequently, you have in an election as contentious as one we've ever seen, and yet is still close in states like Wisconsin, you have some rather surprising endorsements. Well, at least they would be surprising, somebody supporting the Democratic nominee prior to Donald Trump coming on the scene. But the decision by Sean Riley, the mayor of Waukesha, to support Vice President Kamala Harris, I saw it first reported by Fox 6 in Milwaukee, and then a moment later was surprised to see the New York Times led its political section with a picture of Mayor Riley and an interview, and the headline, a Wisconsin mayor, a former Republican, endorses Kamala Harris. And Riley had said, that he left the Republican Party after the January 6th insurrection. And so he described to the Times his own evolution from loyal Republican to, an independent, to now somebody who is supporting a Democratic mayor. The mayor, by the way, that's a nonpartisan role. But when asked when he was running for mayor, if he's a Republican, he had always answered yes. When Trump first ran in 2016, Riley said he did not vote for Trump, but that he also did not vote for Hillary Clinton either. And it was after the insurrection that Riley disavowed the Republican Party and said he was no longer a member. He attended the rally in Waukesha County on Monday, where Vice President Harris appeared with former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming. And then on Tuesday, the New York Times article says early voting began, and from his perch in City Hall in Waukesha, Mayor Riley could see a line of voters snaking down the sidewalk. About 800 people were voting in person each day, he said. The article ends with him saying he probably should have endorsed Vice President Harris sooner, but he says, it's one of those things where I'd much rather do it now, even if it doesn't have much of an effect. Mayor, it's going to have an effect. And it's going to have an effect, Greg, in places just like Waukesha County, where a handful of votes count. And there are indeed people in Waukesha who are hearing that news for the first time and were either on the fence, weren't going to vote, going to vote third party, and are saying, nope, I think this might be the tipping point for them.
I think that, you know, we're seeing that a lot in what's called the WOW counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington. And for a moment, I just want to say I'm really proud of Mayor Riley. We've spoken to him on Matt and Aaron, and he's never talked politics. He's always talked Waukesha and the great things about it. But everyone who knows Wisconsin knows how conservative we believed Waukesha County to be. And while I agree with you, I think it's going to make a big difference, because even if Kamala Harris is to lose Waukesha County, which is, you know, let's be honest, it's Waukesha County. If she still has a strong outpouring of support out of there, that says something about that county itself. And it makes me very proud to see people standing up, you know, throwing off those shackles of like, we got to support the guy who's our party. No, this guy is, he wants to be a fascist. He is a terrible human. And so to see Mayor Riley and many others say, nope, we want to vote for democracy. This makes me so, so proud of Waukesha.
Mm-hmm. And Alicia Saunders writes in from Northeast Wisconsin, the journey from Republican to Democrat is not uncommon. I was a Republican, she writes on YouTube. The last Republican I voted for president was McCain, and Scott Walker was one of the reasons I went to the left. And Scott Walker had that polarizing effect as well. I mean, yeah, if you're a far right person by nature, Scott Walker was, I mean, he was all that in a bag of chips, as the kids say. The kids still say that now, right? Of course they do.
His polarizing was adorable back then. Now it's like, yep.
Now it's, yeah, it's almost quaint, but yeah. This is what you are seeing. And you will hear more about this from General Manor in just a little bit. And that's just part of this day's lineup is really something. Coming up on the Earl Ingram Show, which follows this program on many civic media stations, you've got Governor Tony Evers today. You've got Dwayne Schakowsky, an assembly candidate in the Neenah area. On the Chad Holmes Show that you'll hear up in the Wausau area or on the civic media app at 8:30, there's Josh Ernst, the former press secretary to Barack Obama. Then, Greg has alluded, there's this little program called Matt and Air on Air, and Jane and Greg today have former UN Ambassador Susan Rice coming up at 10:30. Not a bad get out of you.
Not at all.
And Todd Alba at 12:30 has former Republican Congressman Reed Ribble. And on the Maggie Dawn Show, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who's running in the 8th Congressional District, will join the show at about 3:30. So a very busy day across civic media. And again, you can tune in through the civic media app and listen to, you know, all the different stations, catch all the different guests along the way as well. And of course, you can also get Dan Schaefer's 2024 voting guide and more election news at civicmedia.us. And you can check out the Up North News voting guide at upnorthnewswi.com. Wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. a Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
Moments like making my kids my famous meatballs mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
We have a different kind of theme going with the bumper music today because part of our history lesson in a half hour is going to discuss songs that stayed at number one on the charts for 10 weeks in a row or longer. Because there's a particular anniversary coming up of one of those songs. Again, that's coming up in our history lesson. Roger writes in from Stevens Point on Facebook, my temperature gauge must be wrong. It reads 29 degrees. No, it's probably not wrong. That's what the temperatures are like out there. Again, with temperatures in the 20s and lower 30s in many parts of the state. And a couple of different hazards that are in the forecast as well. You've still got red flag warnings because of super dry conditions in parts of the state, especially the western parts of the state, because a system's moving in that may bring some strong thunderstorms to other parts of the state. And that could just accelerate the winds in some of the other areas and increase the fire danger. So we've got the cold and the fire danger. And the potential for thunderstorms all coming up. Just another day in our theater of seasons known as Wisconsin. The Up North News daily newsletter can be found over at upnorthnewswi.com. Well, at least that's where you can sign up for it. In the edition today, there is an article about poll workers. You know, who are the folks that work on election day at your polling place? What exactly do they do? How do you become one? You can read up on that there. There's also some fun facts about Spotted Cow and how it became such a popular beer in Wisconsin. And then there's Old Style, you know, another legendary Wisconsin beer. And I don't really want to be a spoiler on this, Greg, but you've seen the six pack, right, of La Crosse, of Old Style in La Crosse by the brewery. So Christina puts in there, how long would it take you to drink the six pack?
Oh, I would no. Tap out.
If you let's see, I don't have it in front of me, but basically if you had one 12-ounce glass of beer, it's either 12 or 16 ounces of beer, an hour around the clock. One glass of beer around the clock, you'd have to live well past 100 to drink one of the six pack.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of beer in that thing.
I have one High Life now, and I'm like, I'm good.
Yep. That's all I need. I know. When I think of, I don't know how beer is different now than it was when I was growing up. But if there's different sounds of your childhood, yeah. And one of them to me is the clanking of bottles, because before you had the way that 12 and 24 packs of beer look today. The 24 packs of my youth were all in those brown bottles, you know, like you saw in Laverne and Shirley, yeah. You know, going by on the conveyor belt. And they were put in these very thick cardboard crates.
Yeah.
And so that when you're walking with the crate, you hear the bottles all jingling back and forth. Mm-hmm. And that was like, that just said, oh, it's Friday. Somebody hit the West 7th liquor store in St. Paul and is coming back with some Schmidt or some grain belt or some hams.
You know? Oh, I love hams from the from the land of sky blue waters.
Waters. Yes, exactly. And one more article in the newsletter today. First-time voters from Gen Z. We've got a writer in there talking about how important it is for young voters to show up. So get all that and more in our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com is where you subscribe to that. Let's see. It's Thursday, so we get another VIP visit. Second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, will be in Kenosha to rally early voters today. He will be joined by Maryland Governor Wes Moore and Vice President Harris's brother-in-law, Tony West. Let's check a little sports here. We're a little behind the clock, but that's okay. The Milwaukee Bucks season opened up last night, opened up in Philly. Dame Lillard scored 30 points. Giannis Antetokounmpo added 25, and the Bucks defeated the Philadelphia 76ers 124-109 in the season opener for both teams last night. Milwaukee got double-figure scoring from six different players. The Bucks will have their home opener coming up tomorrow night against the Chicago Bulls. The Green Bay Packers are getting set for their game this weekend in Jacksonville. That's a noon start, pregame at 10 o'clock on Civic Media stations in Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, and in Park Falls. The Badgers take on a nationally ranked opponent, third-ranked Penn State. The game's at 6:30, pregame at 4:30 on Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. The UW Badger men's hockey team, you can hear their game Friday at Denver University starting at 7:30 on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. And, I mean, that is just a start. There's also so much more high school sports covered by Chad Holmes and so many other folks. Check the Civic Media app or civicmedia.us for more details there. The Badger women's volleyball team, they're back in action tonight at Indiana. And then Saturday afternoon, they are at 10th-ranked Purdue. The Badger women's hockey team will host Bemidji State tonight and tomorrow night. So there, your little cut up on sports there. There are only a couple of episodes left of the weekly video podcast series from Courier Newsroom called Closing Strong. Tara McGowan and Simon Rosenberg are joined by strategists, elected officials, reporters, and advocates talking about the importance of Closing Strong, the name of that video podcast that you can find on YouTube. Go to the Courier HQ page, Courier HQ on YouTube, to get all of the details. Looking at some of the things that have come in, including a note from Tammy Baldwin's office, and this is another case where federal funds are going to be coming to Wisconsin in part through the efforts of Senator Baldwin, but it's not like she wouldn't be doing the work anyway, but it's once again filling a gap because the current legislature, Republican controlled, is sitting on money that could be used for essential services like cleaning industrial chemicals out of our water. The current Republican-led legislature has been sitting on funds for over a year. These funds have already been approved, but they won't release them because they're trying to extract more things out of the governor rather than spending the money. They'd rather keep the water contaminated than spend the money. Well, Senator Baldwin, her office announced yesterday, Wisconsin's going to get an additional $86 million through the bipartisan infrastructure law to upgrade water infrastructure, ensure communities have access to safe drinking water, and help communities address PFAS and other contamination in the water. And that's a good thing in and of itself. You will have Republican legislators, much like with broadband, saying, well, you see, we were right to zero that out because there's going to be federal money anyway. No, that's shirking your duty. That's laziness and passing the buck on to somebody else, like Congress or like your local school district and property taxpayers. We will be back with our interview with a two-star general about national security concerns in this election next. You're up north.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin farmers are reflecting on the challenges they face this growing season and harvest season and are already setting their sights on improvements for the 2025 growing season. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And looking ahead, Dr. Sean Conley, University of Wisconsin Extension Soybean Specialist, emphasizes the importance of cover crops.
I mean, I think the number one thing I'm really thinking about is, you know, kind of how the farmers are going to be able to respond in 2025. We're coming off of the last 5 years. I think we've had 3 years of record yields as well as record revenue generation for farmers. But then we start looking at, you know, what I usually use as an indicator is how our used equipment selling. And we're seeing used equipment being sold right now at 20% of what it was last year. So that kind of gives us an indicator that, well, next year and the next couple of years are going to be tough on our farmers in terms of the economics.
That's Dr. Sean Conley, University of Wisconsin Extension Soybean Specialist, along with us. I'll have a look at your morning markets right after this.
Now's the time to get right with Pivot Bio Nitrogen. The right source, at the right rate, at the right time, in the right place. Sounds good, right? And now is the right time to act. With zero payments, zero interest, and zero worry. Until December 1st, 2025, on the best source of nitrogen. Get right with Pivot Bio. For more information, visit PivotsProvenIt.com. That's PivotsProvenIt.com.
Actor portrayal.
When I joined Better Life, I thought it was just about life insurance, but it's so much more. Better Life connects me with others in my community through social groups, events, and wellness programs. Insurance helps give me peace of mind, but the member benefits, they give me a real sense of belonging.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your morning markets. December corn is trading at 419 and three quarters. That's down three quarters. November soybeans are trading at 1003 and a quarter. That's up five and three quarters. December wheat is trading at 579 and a quarter, that is up three quarters, and July 2025 wheat is trading at 615, and that is up a penny. On the dairy side of things now, November Class 3 milk contract is trading at 2028 a hundredweight, that is down 12 cents, and December Class 3 milk contract is trading at 2058 a hundredweight, up 14 cents. Barrel cheese closed yesterday at 190 and three quarters. That was down a quarter. 40-pound block cheese closed yesterday at 192. That was up 3 cents. And the double A butter closed yesterday at 265 and a half, and that was down 2 1/4 cents. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy and breezy today with clouds increasing this afternoon and then a chance of showers or even an isolated thundershower by late this afternoon into this evening. Our high today in the mid-60s. Tonight will clear after midnight with a low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, former UN Ambassador Susan Rice will join us at 10:33. Hour number two, all things sports with Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. And this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome back. We continue on Up North News Radio with some insight on democracy versus fascism. Remember last Friday on the program, we broke down the definition because the word fascism gets bandied about often out of a sense of hyperbole. Kind of like the way some folks refer to Democrats as socialists or communists in a way that indicates they don't even actually know what those words mean. Major General Randy Manner understands. He served our country for 35 years, from the 82nd Airborne to serving the Joint Chiefs of Staff to his work helping veterans transition into corporate and academic careers. General Manner has tirelessly served the Constitution, not the President, not the Congress, the Constitution, our democracy and its checks and balances. He's a registered independent, voted for Reagan, voted for Democrats, publicly apolitical until recently. As part of National Security Leaders for America, he is warning that the things Donald Trump is promising, both the overt and the vague, should be taken seriously. I asked him what prompted him to get involved.
What has changed is that this situation is no longer about politics or policies. It's about, quite frankly, the concept of democracy, the way the Founding Fathers intended it in the Constitution, and the very reason why George Washington gave up the presidency despite all the appeals to serve a third term, because he said, I am not a king, and we will not have a king in our country.
The difference between what some people admire about former President Trump, they see a strong leader. The difference between a strong leader and a strong man. And it's not the kind of conversation and not the kind of definition we normally have to talk about, but you are in the perfect position to help explain the difference to voters.
So it's absolutely true that dictators in history are viewed by a fair amount of their population of being a very strong leader, very nationalistic, very decisive. I would argue that everyone who's listening to this program should think of the terms of a strong leader, of someone who better represents their personal values. In other words, do they treat people with dignity and respect the way that they would like to? Do they speak from truth? Do they make things up? Are they kind to others or not? So you want a leader that's defined as being strong, that reflects your personal values.
We get back to the whole notion of, you know, serving democracy, serving a constitution, which is not what a strong man does. There's not that reverence and allegiance to a constitution. We think of it as, you know, a piece of paper. But anybody who serves, especially in a leadership position, understands when you say serving the Constitution, it's about so much more than that.
When I took my first oath of office as a second lieutenant to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, I never understood ever until the past few years what it meant about the words against all enemies, domestic. I didn't have any. I said, wait, why is that added in our oath of office? And I have since learned that when you have somebody who, quite frankly, not only respects, but looks up to dictators such as Putin and the dictators in China and North Korea, and quite frankly, as revealed most recently, even to Hitler for the way that he dealt with his generals, who were also Nazis, of course, it's just very disdainful and very, very unfortunate that I am now faced with, I must speak up the same way General Kelly, General Milley, and quite frankly, hundreds of other generals and admirals are speaking up to say, this is not what America is all about.
And the thing is, you understand that part of Donald Trump's appeal is that people feel frustrated. They feel like the system is broken, and so they're willing to go to extremes. And so, how do we take the frustrations that people feel and acknowledge that and say, we get that, but we're going a step too far if somebody is actually willing to use the military to somehow deal with those frustrations?
So it's important for me to give perspective also in terms of a position I had in the military. I was responsible for the monitoring and inspection of Russian nuclear weapons and hosting the Russians to inspect ours. And by the way, this treaty was in place until Trump threw it out and said, we're not going to talk to the Russians anymore. Up until that point, for example, I have been in Russia at a nuclear base outside of Moscow. I have talked with, through a translator, both translators, an American soldier as well as a Russian soldier, to be able to talk to my counterparts. Russians, as well as Americans, want to feel safe in their community and in their home. They want to have the ability to put food on the table. They want to have their children safe in school and getting a better education than they had. And they also want to have meaningful and well-paying jobs in their community. We share these common denominators with people around the world. It is very important for us as Americans to understand that that's what we all want. At the same time, we do want to have clean water that we can drink from the wells that we might have. My home in outside in the mountains of Virginia, I have well water. It's very important to me that that is going to be drinkable. Same thing across our country. We don't want to destroy our land for cattle, for crops. And we also don't want it to go too far. That is something that we need to keep in mind, that from a military point of view as well, by the way, veterans and military members, we want the same things that we reflect America. We come from all walks of life.
We would want that, but we also see the potential for a Trump presidency, which leads me to this question. I would put myself at the very tail end of people old enough to remember the Saturday Night Massacre during Watergate, when Richard Nixon couldn't find somebody to carry out his order. He'd fire him and find the next guy, and then he found the next guy, which turned out to be Robert Bork. How real is the concern that once somebody like a Donald Trump gets into office, without the guardrails that we keep talking about from his first term, that you'll see something similar, or at least an attempt to do something similar with our armed forces?
So I want you to, I want you and all of your listeners to understand that when the Supreme Court took away the guardrails and said that the President of the United States, quite frankly, can do anything he or she wants to do, I mean, first of all, I'm shocked about that as an American. I don't know what the legal basis for that is. But here's the important thing I want to remind everybody about. He absolutely is capable of using the National Guard as his police, as his personal police force. And he absolutely, people forget that when you are promoted as an officer in our military, it's the President of the United States that selects you for promotion. I say again, the President of the United States. The President does not want you to be nominated to the next level. He or she will not do it. It's the Senate that confirms your new rank for promotion. So could Trump literally fire everyone until he gets to someone who says yes, like Nixon did? Absolutely, positively. He will not make that mistake again when he had Mark Esper, who, by the way, served in my own National Guard unit years ago. And I worked with General Milley in the Pentagon. If we didn't have such strong-willed personalities in the Department of Defense, he could have and will fire people until he gets to people who will say yes. And then he'll say, by the way, he might say, hey, boss, hey, Mr. President, what you're telling me to do is illegal. He says, don't worry about it because I'm going to pardon you, and don't worry about it. And by the way, that's all 100% feasible. Now, I want to also say something that's, I think, very, very important. In that interview that was done by General Kelly, remember, we're talking a Marine Corps general, a conservative Republican, by the way, selected, hand-selected as the chief of staff by President Trump, who said most recently, you know what? I hate to say this, but the president, he didn't say, I hate to say this. He said, the president is fascist. And for 98% of Americans, they're going, oh my God, what's that all about? That's name calling. So here's my challenge that I want to offer to everyone listening here. Please pull out the Webster Dictionary if you have still a paper copy in the house, or go online and look up the following definition of fascism. And you're going to find there are four lines. The first one, fascism is defined as a nationalistic, far-right conservative perspective. Trump gets a check on that one. Secondly, it demands absolute obedience. Oh my God, how many times has he ever disparaged anybody who didn't agree with him? Number three, the forced suppression of opposition. He badmouths, it's almost like a hit list of all the generals and admirals and political appointees that have spoken up, that he appointed, that have come out and said things that he does not agree with, and he has slammed them all. The fourth part of the definition is the supremacy of a race and or a religion. Well, let's see, whites, and I'm one, okay, yep, check, and then religion. Christian nationalism, okay, check. So when you sit here and you are taken back by General Kelly, General Milley, and many others saying Trump is a fascist, I ask your listeners to please look up the definition yourself. Please, please, just take 2 minutes to look this up, and then you make the decision about is Trump a fascist or not. And I will tell you, because I know General Kelly, I know General Milley, these are honorable men who have served their country for decades. And they speak from the truth. They speak to data. They speak logically. And I implore you, please look up the definition. I will tell you emphatically, even if you voted for Trump before, if you voted for Trump before, that's the past. The Trump of before is different than the Trump of today. I would challenge you to put country over party, like General Kelly has done. Put country over party. And even if you can't stand it, hold your nose, and you got to vote for Vice President Harris rather than, by definition, not my name calling, by definition, that Trump is a fascist, and a vote for Trump is a strong vote for fascism. This is not name calling. You make the call yourself.
And we close by saying this is the same Donald Trump, folks will recall, in late July. We laughed about it at the time, but in remarks, Trump said that he might fire all the generals and replace them with NASCAR race car owners and head football coaches because he said they would do a better job than the generals. And it made people chuckle, but the more he talks about these kinds of things, the less funny it is.
It's not funny at all. I'm not trying to scare your listeners. I am trying to be practical. I am part of a 1,000-person organization called the National Security Leaders for America that is bipartisan. It's Democrats, independents, I'm an independent, and Republicans. Bottom line up front, I encourage all your listeners to think about this hard. Do you want a leader that you can say to your children and your grandchildren, I voted for fascism and for an absolute ruler dictator called Trump, or did I not vote for him? And instead, perhaps for the first time in your life, to consider voting for someone who is not a fascist just this one time.
Just this one time could make all the difference. Major General Randy Manner, General, thank you so much for your time again and for your service. It was a pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you, sir.
You can learn more about National Security Leaders for America at their website, nsl4a.org. Back with more after this, here up north from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle,
WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Number one song this day in 1970 by Santana. It was Santana landing their first number one album in America. Abraxas claimed the top spot, including this little ditty. Can't get this one out of your head. They also did a Fleetwood Mac cover of Black Magic Woman. We've got an interesting theme in today's history lesson about songs that have a long run of popularity and actually have to amend it to include a song that's on the charts this week. So I'll have that in just a second. Also in today's history lesson, this is Black Thursday, the day in 1929 when the New York Stock Exchange first plummeted in a way that ushered in the Great Depression. Happy 88th birthday to Bill Wyman, bass player, well, past bass player for the Rolling Stones. So between him and Keith Richards, what are we talking about here in terms of healthy lifestyles? Seriously.
Happy 88th birthday to Bill Wyman. Happy 42nd birthday to his wife.
Well, okay, maybe that's the key. Don't know, you know. Let's see, another birthday today. Drake, the Canadian rapper and actor, is 38 years old today. All right, let's talk for a bit about longevity on the charts. And here was the number one song this day in 1992 by Boyz II Men.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Hello, ladies. This is why I was never in Boyz II Men. That's as good as I get.
Hello and goodbye.
And goodbye. I'll turn right around and leave now. Anyway, when Boyz II Men were the top of the chart this week in 1992, they tied Elvis Presley's Don't Be Cruel and Hound Dog as the longest-running number one single, with its 11th week in a row at the top of the chart. It would go on to be on the top for two more weeks. But then 3 months later, it would lose its record when Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You was on top of the charts for 14 weeks.
Oh, man.
The current record holder is 19 weeks in a row at number one by Lil Nas X doing Old Town Road. But as I'm looking, I'm looking at the entire list. When Debbie Boone got to 10 weeks in a row, that was a big deal. She's now way down on the list. Many, many. many other songs have lasted for 10 weeks plus. I've heard the, you know, the current number one song that's out there, a little ditty named Shaboozy. It is now, Shaboozy is a bar song, Tipsy, is now at 15 weeks and counting.
My goodness.
At number one. So it's only got 4 weeks left before it too would tie Lil Nas X for the longest stay at number one on the charts. All right, back to history now. The number one album this week in 1987 was Michael Jackson. This, of course, would be the title track to Michael Jackson's Bad, number one album this week in 1987. On this week in 2000, Lenny Kravitz released his Greatest Hits album. It peaked at number two, and it marked his highest entry on the album chart. It also featured the track Again, which earned him his third consecutive Grammy for Best Male Rock Vocal Performance. On this week in 2000, Linkin Park released their debut album, Hybrid Theory, bolstered by this hit. Along with the Grammy Award-winning track Crawling, this became the best-selling album of 2001. So let's see, the past couple of days we've talked about some of the more recent albums by Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Well, it was on this day. When did it all kind of begin? It actually began this day in 2006 when Taylor Swift released her self-titled debut album, a collection of country pop tunes that she wrote during her freshman year of high school, including this top 20 hit. Tim McGraw peaked at number five on the album chart, the album did, and it became the longest charting album of the 2000s, logging well over 150 weeks on the charts. By that time, there were all these other albums to choose from, too. So, but it all started 18 years ago this week. This is National Baloney Day.
That's baloney.
That's baloney. That I could not.
Stupid, Pat. I'm sorry.
I could not tell you the last time that I purposefully had baloney on a sandwich.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a hot dog, you know, last week sometime, so I guess that counts because that's just baloney in a different form, right? I mean, if you get the big national, I'm right away. I'm hearing in butcher shops all over in meat markets, hey, no, our hot dogs are different. I mean, like the big name brands that are basically just bologna in a tube. But
I just think about back when I was a kid, my mom would make ring bologna and sauerkraut and dumplings.
Oh, yeah. I mean, ring bologna, I've had that, you know, and by the way, there's all these different types. You'd think there's just like one type of ring bologna or ring sausage. No, there's Polska kielbasa and all these other. You got to look carefully. Yeah. Find the one you like. This is Jamaican Jerk Day, not the person, the seasoning, which, oh my gosh, do I love that. If there's a lot of things I miss about living in the Caribbean, but one of them is, I mean, they know how to do jerk chicken.
Yeah.
Just right. I've had it up here. It's not the same. You don't just sprinkle some seasoning and call it good. Okay. There's more to it than that. This is World Polio Day. This is United Nations Day. And this is Bat Appreciation Week, which reminds me, the World Series gets started tomorrow. That'll be Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers versus Aaron Judge and the Yankees. I'm being told now that's not the Bat Appreciation Week that we're supposed to be talking about. Coming up after the news, we'll talk to State Assembly Representative Steve Doyle, and then later, Luann Bird, candidate for Assembly, all on the second hour of Up North News Radio from the Civic Media Radio Network.
He said the way my blue eyes shine, put those Georgia stars to shame.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight from the show Outrageous Pumpkins, Wisconsin's own Carly Ide joins the show. Then we talk Jack-O-Lantern Days in Fish Creek and our popcorn pick of the week with Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.